This morning's Bible reading will be from Luke 2, verses 8 to 14, and then from Romans 5, verses 1 to 12, starting with Luke. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? For if, while we were enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people, because all sinned.
Well, it is good to be able to celebrate this day with you this morning. Whether you're a visitor with us or whether you're a regular here at church, it is good for people to gather together to come and celebrate Jesus, whose birth we remember during the Christmas season. And if you're here for the first time today, or if you missed out on last week's service, as a church we've been looking and thinking about Jesus being the gift that God gives to the world, and that Jesus is the greatest gift. And today we're going to be continuing in that theme, and that Jesus is the gift that brings us peace. And we're going to be asking the question, how exactly is Jesus the greatest gift? What does it actually mean to us that Jesus came to be born here on earth and for us to receive him? So I'd like to suggest to you this morning that Jesus is the greatest gift because he brings us peace. Now, in the first passage we read this morning, in Luke chapter 2, we read that the angel says to the people, "Don't be afraid, for I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And so, Luke who writes this, and the angel says that Jesus gives us the gift of joy, which is what we looked at on Sunday. And I'll just quickly recap that. You know, when we read the story of Jesus' birth, the angel appears and the people are terrified, but the angel says, "Don't be afraid, because Jesus brings great joy." But then in verse 14, the same angel says, "Glory be to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those he favors," to the people whom he favors. So Jesus gives us both joy and peace. He is joy to the whole world, but then he gives peace to those whom God favors. Peace on whom his favor rests, in some translations. So how is it that Jesus can be a great joy for all people, but bring peace only to those on whom God's favor rests? There are these two different groups of people within the passage. There's the joy group, and then there is the peace group. And so which group are we in? Are we in the joy group because of Jesus' birth? Are we in the peace group because of Jesus' birth? Or can we be both? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that if you live in basically the Western world, then Jesus' birth does give joy. Does Jesus' birth give joy? Well, if you live in a Western culture, the answer is 99% likely that the answer is yes. Virtually every person enjoys joy on Christmas Day. And of course, you know, Christmas Day celebrates Jesus' birth. And whether you are rich or poor, whether you live in a mansion or a caravan, whether you are, even if you are homeless, experiencing homelessness, Christmas does produce joy. Even in prison or in hospital, Christmas matters. It changes things. It causes people to be kind of extraordinarily nice to one another. I mean, how many times have you seen in the movies or in real life someone say, you know, let's do this nice thing because it's Christmas after all. Let's invite them over because it's Christmas. Christmas in many ways brings out the best in people. Almost universally, if you live in a culture like ours, Christmas does produce joy. Jesus' birth gives us joy. We treat each other better. We share things we won't normally share. We bottle the bad emotions while we're at the Christmas lunch, you know. We look after each other because, after all, it's Christmas time. And so probably you would agree that that's true for you. And so I think the angel is right when the angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. I think we largely find ourselves in the joy group. But the problem with this Christmas joy is that, and this is what we were looking at on Sunday, is that this joy is fleeting. It passes very quickly. It doesn't sustain us. It really doesn't have this ever-presentness to it. It's not an ever-present joy that sustains us throughout the year and throughout our life. It is kind of bound to the Christmas season. And then once the Christmas period finishes, we're often left with a sense of emptiness and a bit of longing. And to deal with that, we need peace. We need peace, actually, with God. Christmas may bring us joy, but today I want to ask the question, does Christmas also bring us peace? That's a far more difficult question to answer. Does Christmas bring you peace, lasting contentment, a sense of quiet within your inmost being? Does Christmas give you peace? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us, the answer is no, it doesn't. If you are anything like the normal Australian household, then Christmas is anything but a peaceful occasion. Aldi ran a great ad campaign about this a couple of years ago. There's a mum, she's lying in bed, she's got the recipe book open, but she's having these kind of nightmares about Christmas. You see a person frantically trying to blow up one of those inflatable Santas or reindeers or something like that. You know, a Christmas ornament to go out on your lawn as if anyone ever thought that was a good idea. And if you have one, I am judging you. There is a person who's madly dashing about trying to wrap up all the presents. There's this sense of urgency. We need more Christmas. We need more presents. We need more food. What are we going to do? And that's basically the ad. And then towards the end, she sits down and lets out a sigh of relief once Christmas lunch happens. And why is this? You know, why do we go so crazy during Christmas time? What if it is because we are wanting that sense of peace? That promised peace that the angel speaks about in verse 14. is it that Christmas gives us this taste of heavenly peace, you know, where everything is perfectly prepared and you can finally sit down at the perfect lunch or the perfect dinner and take a breath because it's a really enjoyable, peaceful space. There's something almost otherworldly about it. There's that moment when you savor the food and the children's mouths are full and therefore quiet, and no one is fighting or arguing. And it's this almost serene, heavenly, divine peace. The work is done, the toil is over, and you can enter into this truly peaceful rest. And then the moment passes and the chaos resumes. Because the peace we have at Christmas time is temporary. We love it when it happens. We will go to great lengths to make it happen, but it just doesn't last. You know, we don't love the chaos, we love the peace. It hints at something deeper and more profound. And I think it's particularly ironic how much work we are willing to do in order to get that snippet, that catch that little glimpse of peace, where we're willing to put in so much work and effort to have a taste of that. And it seems like Christmas is the time of the year where we want to get everything out of the way so that we can have a sense of that peace that at least lasts for a week before the new year begins. And we're willing to go to great lengths to do all kinds of shopping and, you know, try and battle the car parks that are so horrendously full and get so busy so that we can have a taste. And then when we sit down to the Christmas lunch, we say things like, "Oh, where has the year gone?" We look back on it and we say, "Oh, goodness me, time has flown. The things I made New Year's resolutions about, you know, it's December, I haven't even started." And we look at our children's yearbooks and think, "Well, I hope they learned something because that year went by so quickly." And we say these things because we want this sense of peace, but we have this internal ticking clock that says to us, time is running out. We want the most out of life. We want this sense of peace, that it'll all be fine. But every year it seems it goes by a little bit faster. And in the midst of this wrestle, we need to be reminded of what Luke tells us the angel here said. Jesus came to bring peace to those on whom God's favor rests. And in the midst of this, we need to be reminded about what Christ actually came to do. He came so that we can have peace with God. You see, we need this peace because as human beings, we have been at war with God since the fall of sin. Right back in Genesis chapter 3, right back at the beginning of the Bible, we see that our hearts have wanted to stand against God. Stand in the place of God. We wanted to be our own gods, be the kings of our own universe. We wanted to rule ourselves. And we thought we knew better than God. You know, he gave this one command to Adam and Eve and said, "You may eat from any tree in the garden, but from this one tree, you're not allowed to eat from that." And then they listened to the temptations of the serpent and said, "No, we know better. We will eat of the fruit." And ever since that day, humanity has been at war with God. And apart from Jesus, every human being, every person, you and I too, in our heart of hearts, we have wanted to and have been rebelling against God. Now, logically, that doesn't make sense, right? Like, why would you enter into a cosmic war against the God of the universe? That's frankly illogical. If God is God and He's infinite and all-powerful and all-knowing and all-good, then the idea that we as human beings who are finite and limited and not all-powerful could kind of fight and kill God is frankly ridiculous. And yet, for at least some of our lives, all of us live as if God is dead. And as if we are the kings of our own universes, And the end result of that is a deep sense that there is something wrong inside. There is a disquiet within our hearts, a sense of unrest, of peacelessness. Maybe you have felt this yourself. The sense that things are not quite right, and you haven't quite known what to do with that. And so how do we deal with this? Well, if you are like me and like most human beings, then we run around and chase after things that will distract us, that will cover over or try and kind of mask the sense of disquiet. We chase after relationships with people, after things that we can have, after good deeds even to try and cover up our sense of unease. We can turn to religiosity, you know, trying to please God on our own terms. And yet none of these things seem to really work. We can chase after entertainment or jobs or hobbies or work just so that we don't have to deal with this sense of disquiet that's going on the inside. But the reality is that nothing we do ever makes that sense of peacelessness go away. Because the truth of Scripture and the thing that the Bible teaches and is consistent in teaching from the beginning to the end of the book is that nothing we do can buy us peace with God. We will always be enemies of God. We will always be fighting God. We will always be at war with God unless we come to Christ in faith. Unless in faith we come and accept what Jesus has done on the cross. Unless we come and believe that Jesus died for our sins in order to make us right with God. And until we come to that place, we will never have peace with God. Nothing you do and nothing I do will ultimately fix that unrest within my heart. And nothing will be able to truly distract us eternally from that. The only way we can get peace with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so if you want peace with God, if you want that disquiet within your soul to go away, then Jesus Christ has to become your Lord. You have to accept him in faith. That is how God's favor rests on some and not all. You see, Romans chapter 5 gives us a picture of this, and this is the other passage we read this morning. The Apostle Paul, who writes this book, says, "Therefore, since you have been justified through faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand." What he's saying there is that we have been justified. You know, justification is a word that means we've been made right with God. So if you imagine you've committed some serious offense and you're standing before a judge, justification is when the judge says you are free to go because someone else has paid your fine in full. That's what Jesus does for us when we believe. And what Paul says is that when we come and believe in Jesus in faith, then that's what happens. That transaction happens. Christ takes our sins on himself, dies in our place, pays our debt, and makes us right with God. You see, friends, when we trust in Jesus, despite all the wrongdoing we've done in life, despite all our sins, despite everything that has gone wrong, we have forgiveness. We have life with God. And that disquiet that we feel gets silenced because of his work. You see, if our peace with God comes from our own hard work or our own good deeds or something we've accomplished in life, then it'll never really be enough, will it? It'll never give us a lasting peace because that work cannot go on forever. Our good deeds can never really outweigh our bad deeds. We will inevitably slip up somewhere and need to start all over again. But if our peace with God is dependent on the work of Jesus on the cross, then in some sense it doesn't actually matter whether we fail again and again and again, because our peace with God does not depend on us. It depends on Christ and his fully finished work. And what that means for us is that we can stop. We can stop trying to prove ourselves, stop trying to race after things that we think will cover over that sense of disquiet. We can stop trying to manufacture this peace, you know, through things like Christmas and entertainments and whatever else. We can stop trying to manufacture that because we have peace with God. And this sense that I am right with God, that everything will be okay, starts changing the way we live. That's what faith in Christ gives us. And that's a good thing. You see, when we come to Jesus in faith, when we accept his work on the cross, our sins are forgiven eternally. The dirt of our past is washed away, and our actions where we have rebelled against God are wiped clean. And we can stand completely unblemished before God. And every person who believes will do that. And that is a place of great confidence, isn't it? Where it really does not depend on us. That's wonderful. And I think one of the places we see this most starkly shown is people who come to faith later on in life. You know, where we hear the testimonies of people who maybe they haven't grown up in the church, who came to believe in Jesus later on in life. One of the consistent themes when you hear these people's stories is how different their lives are now because they believe. And when their friends and family see them, they recognize that their lives are just so different because they've now put their trust in Jesus. And the reason for that is because they have a sense of peace with God. And so those things that they've been pursuing to give them that sense of quiet or to quiet the unrest within their souls, they can give those things up because they now have peace with God. When we trust in Jesus, things are different. You know, just before we sang the song, O Holy Night, and it's one of our favorite carols in our home. Because it says there that long lay the world in sin and error pining, right? So from the beginning of creation, we've wanted pining after this fix for sin. Till he appeared, that is Jesus, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. Why? Because there is breaking out a new and glorious morn. That is the truth of every Christian who believes. Who comes to Jesus, they get that weariness taken away, a new morning breaking, a glorious morning where we get to live for Christ from today and forevermore. That is what peace with God does for us. Is that something you want? Is that something you have? The song is right. When the songwriter reflects on this, what does he say? Fall on your knees. Come and worship the King who's done all this for you. Friends, this Christmas, this option is open to you too. There is joy for the whole world, but there is peace for those on whom God's favor rests. You get God's favor only by accepting the free gift that Jesus has done for you, of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Which group do you want to be in? You actually can be in both. if you would accept the work of Christ on the cross. That is how you get peace with God. And when you do, may you join all those who have come before you, who will fall on their knees and worship the King. Let me pray. Lord, we come before you reflecting on what it is you came to do. That Christmas time is not merely a sort of a sentimental thing where we simply think about the baby Jesus and the beautiful nativity scene. But that actually, when you were born, you came with a mission. You came to set us free from the guilt we have borne since the very beginning of Scripture. Lord, we've carried this burden of sin for so long, and you came to take it away. Help us accept this by faith. And then once we have accepted that by faith, help us to live worshipping you as people who want to fall on our knees to praise you, worship you for what you've done. Thank you that your work on the cross gives us peace, peace that will last forever, even as we see you face to face, washed clean of all our wrongdoing and given the perfect life that you lived in our place. What a joy it is to be your people and to celebrate this day together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.